Blog Talk Radio.
And you are here today because anyone who ever bet against you was wrong. Because any obstacle that ever dared get in your way, no matter how invincible it may have seemed, it was defeated by your innate power to overcome. You are here today because you are powerful beyond measure. Stop denying yourself of this truth. Your greatest self has been waiting your entire life. Don't you dare make it wait any longer.
A Better Today welcomes you to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free with host, speaker, writer, and personal coach, Steve Maraboli. Steve and his expert guests take you on a quest for truth and highlight philosophies and strategies that help you release your greatest self. It's time to focus on your potential instead of your limitations. Here's your host, Steve Maraboli.
Hey, welcome. You're listening to Empowered Living Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. Of course, you're welcome to participate with this show. You can participate through AOL Instant Messenger. The screen name is ABT Radio Show. That's one word, ABT Radio Show. You could also participate through our website, empoweredlivingradio.com. Not only could you participate through there, but you could also access every single show we have ever done with every author we've ever done it with, every free seminar, everything that's available on the empoweredlivingradio.com is available 100% free. We don't even ask you for your email address. The only thing that we ask, if it inspires you and empowers you, share it with someone else so they can be inspired and empowered as well. Check out empoweredlivingradio.com. Today we're going to be talking about the things and people we love. The things and people we love that are bad for us. Oh, let's make sure that it's real. I'm depending on your feedback. I am depending on your feedback. Even if you don't ask a question, just write in something that we love that is bad for us. Some people that we love that are bad for us. I won't call you out on it. Just send it in as a feedback. Don't send it in as a question. Just a direct feedback, and I'll work it into the show. You know, it's incredible how we voluntarily poison and dilute ourselves in our lives. And we do that through actions and missteps and all these things that we do. But in a large part, the diluting of our lives comes from our unhealthy attachment to things and people that we love in the sense of attachment, but that are ultimately bad for us. Let's have this conversation. But first, I want to say hello to the A Better Today community, all of you, everybody out there who's willing to do more than just talk about change, the people who are out there being the change. It doesn't matter what you believe in. It doesn't matter what kind of religion you come from, no religion, extra religion. It doesn't matter how it works, what your beliefs and philosophies are. We are all standing here together. We are all just inches and feet away from each other. Don't forget the power of one. If you want to see something different in your community, in your home, in your city, in your state, in your country, in your province, no matter what change you want to bring to this world, it starts with you. You are the point of origin. And the easiest way to do it is the power of one. One kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time. There's really no more to say than that. One kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time. Get out there and participate. Nothing changes just because you want it to. It changes because you change it. Change it within yourself. You change it within your home, your community, your family, and it changes. Change is something that we experience when we live accordingly. Success, love, all of these things aren't something you have. They are something you do. They are something you are. They are something you experience when you live it. And we've come to a time where it's not about knowing the path. It's about walking that path, get out there and walk the path, the power of one, one kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time. Let's talk about the things and the people we love. Let's talk about it, because there's so many things that you love. There's so many things that you love, and it could change. Not only can the things you love change, the things that you love can go from something healthy to something poisonous. We've talked about this on the show before. There are people in your lives who you can love who can turn poisonous. There are things and situations in your life that you can love that turn poisonous. There are foods in your life that you can love that turns poisonous. Life is always adapting, refining, improving. Life is always, by definition, since it's changing, it's omitting and releasing things that used to be true to you that are simply no longer true. And today we're going to talk about the things and the people we love that are bad for us. Let's start with some things. And thank you again, everyone, shooting in the feedback. I love it when you participate like this, when you start shooting these things. And food. Food are things we love. But it's not all food. Some food we love, and it's good for us. But there's a whole bunch of food we love that is bad for us. There's a whole bunch of food that we've become not only addicted to by taste. We're finding out now that some of the preservatives, some of the chemicals, some of the quote-unquote flavoring put into our food has addictive. It has addictive traits. It has addictive components. So when you're craving those special French fries, when you're craving that certain burger, when you're craving these certain things, it's not just your body saying, "Ooh, I love that burger." You are literally craving it as someone addicted to some sort of drug would crave that drug. It's funny how when it's something that is considered illegal, a composite man-made material is called a drug. But when it's legal and it's put into our food, that composite man-made material is called an ingredient or flavoring, or best yet, artificial flavoring. They're telling you it's not even natural. They're telling you this was made up in a lab somewhere. If you make it up in a lab and sell it on the streets, it's a drug. If you make it up in a lab and you put it in our food, it's an added ingredient. It's a preservative, or whatever other nonsense they'll find a way to call it. And we become addicted to it, no different than a drug addict is addicted to an illegal drug. You become addicted to a legal drug that is in your food. You don't even know it's there. It's supposed to taste like smoked flavor. It's supposed to taste like something else, and yet you become addicted to it because you don't even know that you are an unwilling participant in their chemistry test, in their chemistry experiment. One of the things that we love is our food. And this is something that has really been I can't call it anything less than a battle for me. This is a conscious thing every single day for me. I feel like a recovering addict in some sense. And I wasn't so gluttonous or anything like that, but I do feel the cravings. I feel them on me, and I feel that I was attached, and oh, how great it was to just taste it and to have it, to eat it and to everything. And you forget, just like a druggie, they forget the downer. They remember the high, but they forget the downer. They don't see that the drug is destroying their lives. They just, all they can remember is that upper they feel when they have and they take in that drug. And I felt the same way with some of the foods I was eating. I wasn't noticing that after I ate them, I'd feel amazing, but a little bit after that, I'd start feeling crappy and my energy would go away. And I, of course, you start putting on those pounds, and then your knees start hurting because you're putting on the pounds, and your body starts reacting to the fact that you've been poisoning it. You love it, but you're poisoning it with the things that you love, and your body's reacting adversely, and suddenly you have a stomach ache, and this happens, and now your stomach has actually turned into a gut. You have a gut ache, and suddenly you're like, wait a second, I'm putting on weight. I'm doing less exercise. I feel like doing less. I'm not thinking as clear, and suddenly you don't even realize that something you love is bad for you. And it becomes a process. I know that in my own life, again, it's a conscious decision every single day to say, wait a second, I have to ask myself questions. I've told you this before. It's almost silly sometimes, but I have to go down to the bare moment of it and say, I'm craving this and I want it. And I'm someone who usually when I want something, I'm going to go get it. And I have to fight against my own habit of tackling things I want. And I have to ask myself questions and stop myself and say, okay, does having this help or hurt your goal? Does having this nourish you or poison you? And I have to fight. Sometimes I have to fight. It sounds so easy, but sometimes I have to fight the rationale that follows. Because don't forget, the chemicals want what the chemicals want, and they'll use other chemicals in your brain to help their cause along. And they'll say, I'll ask myself, is this going to nourish you or is it going to poison you? Does this bring you towards a healthier goal or does it take you further away from that healthy goal? And here comes the thoughts. The thoughts, would one hurt? I mean, one time indulging myself, would it hurt? I'm so good the rest of every other day. How could today possibly hurt? And suddenly I'm having the same voices in my head that a crackhead is having in an alley as he's trying to clean himself up. He's having the same kind of thoughts in his head as I am. And suddenly I realize that this is a battle because I love something that's bad for me. It is demonstrably bad for me. It's not even just an idea that it's bad for me. It is demonstrably bad for me. So yes, definitely there are foods. There are certain foods, unhealthy foods, that we absolutely love. There is no store, no business more popular, more busy, with more job security than the fast food industry. We know there's no mystery anymore. They're experiencing the phenomenon that cigarette companies experienced in the 80s. The fast food industry is. The fast food industry is recognizing what happened with the cigarette companies in the 80s. In the 80s, you know, in the 50s and 60s, there was downright disinformation going on in the cigarette companies, and there would be some old time commercials where you'd have, you know, cartoon characters talking about cigarettes, and there would even be doctors every now and then, doctors coming on and saying, hey, actually it's not that bad for you. It's not bad for you. It's actually good. It makes you feel better. It lowers your blood pressure, like this kind of stuff. And you'd see these silly commercials, but as the cigarette companies moved into the 80s, they had recognized and identified, yes, this stuff is no good for you. This is absolute poison, no good for you. And the people knew this in the 80s and leaning into the 90s. People knew this, yet cigarette sales were flying high and high and high, and they were being more lucrative than ever, more lucrative than ever. And what would happen? People knew this was no good for me, that people would be smoking a cigarette. That somebody, and you'll still encounter some people like this today, they will have a cigarette in their mouth. They will tell you, I know this is bad for me. I know this could kill me. I know this is likely to be the reason I die. And they'll keep smoking it. That is an incredible phenomenon, and actually a credible tribute to the power of the habitual brain. And that phenomenon that was being experienced then is being experienced now by the fast food industry. There is no mystery. That stuff is no good for you. So, I mean, there's been arguments in court discussions whether some of that food is even being able to be classified as food, being able to be classified as what they call it. There's been some arguments in some places that can you technically call that beef? Can you technically call that chicken? These are actual discussions that have happened in an industry that they say, listen, this is too much fat intake. There's too much of this. There's too much of that. There's no nutrients. You're not. They were forcing them legally to put it on the wrapper, display it on the menu. You guys have to put somewhere, let people know how much fat they're having, how many grams of fat. Let them know what they're eating. Let them know how they're poisoning their bodies with this stuff. The same as they did with the cigarette companies. They said you have to put a sign on the cigarettes that say this is bad for you. And they realized that when they put that sign on there, more people smoke. So they made the sign bigger so more people will smoke. They said, this is incredible. We tell people in a big sign on the carton that this stuff will kill you, and they buy even more than they did before. So the fast food industry fought it. They lost the battle, so they had to put up on their menus, on the information, this is how much fat this has, this is how much cholesterol, this is how much nastiness, this is how much active ingredients other than just burger and cheese are actually in your stuff. And they put the signs up and they kind of flinched and said, oh, who's going to buy our food now that they know that what they're actually eating? And wouldn't you know it, more people than ever are buying your food now that they know what's actually in it. It is an incredible thing that we love. But that is bad for us. Unhealthy foods are bad for us. And I don't know how you fight it. I know how I fight it. And it's not a battle I always win. I know how I fight it. It's battle by battle, case by case, trial by trial, test by test. Because nowadays you're fighting more, just like the people with the cigarettes. The reason they could say, as they're smoking a cigarette, I know this is bad for me, I want to quit, as they keep smoking. What they didn't know, which was what they found out later, and all these lawsuits came in, what they didn't know, they suspected, but what they didn't know, and that what we do know now, is that the active ingredient in those cigarettes is addictive. It has addictive properties. Your body becomes addicted to it. So now it's not just you thinking that, oh, I'm just craving a cigarette. What you don't realize, and what we realize now with the neuroscience and connectivity of our brains, that in the physiology, the neurophysiology of our experience, we realize that you will crave that on a cellular level. Your cells crave the poison you've been giving them. And they will act in their behalf. It's crazy. They will act in their behalf. They will send signals to your brain saying, hey, what about a cigarette? How about some cigarettes? They will act and send signals to your brain to get what they want. It's fascinating how it works. It's fascinating how it works. The only advice I could offer is what I do. And you have to make a conscious effort. Oh, I have to fight this craving. No, I know no matter what my body's telling me, I know rationally, this is not good for me. I want to be healthier. I want to feel better. I don't want to feel bloated. I don't want to be overweight. I don't want to be. And I know that this does not help me get to that point. There is no way that these cheeseburger and fries is going to help me get healthier. There's no way it's going to help me feel better. There's no way it's going to help me drop all these extra pounds I put on. There's no way that this is healthy for me. So I have to fight this craving no matter what justifications my cells are using to get it. I have to fight this craving because I know I've set a gauge that knows that this is no good for me. This is bad for me. I love it and I crave it, but it is bad for me. Folks, today we're talking about the things and people we love. but are bad for us. We're just talking about food. So many people writing in about food. Yeah, there's all kinds of different foods that are bad for you. There's all kinds of different things that are bad for you. We kind of touched on drugs, people writing in about drugs that you love and are bad. We've kind of touched on some drugs, illegal drugs, but don't forget there's plenty of legal drugs that we love that are bad for us. There are plenty of legal things that we love in that sense. The sugars, the drugs, any chemical that gives us a response and reaction that we're looking for aside from the chemicals we already have, aside from the chemicals that we already do invite into our bodies, invite into our lives. We're talking about things. Let's talk about some people. I'm going to bounce back and forth between things and people. How's that? How's that? Because the show's flying by already. And woohoo, do you guys love talking about this stuff? People. Oh, who are the people that we love that are bad for us? This is an hour-long show isn't long enough for this, is it? How about the people who hurt us? The people who judge us? The people who don't return what we give in love and respect and honor and commitment? What about our exes? Oh, five or six or seven of you have written in our exes. How are these things, how are these people that we love that are bad for us? You know, we talk about relationship, we talk about life, we talk about balance, and we often find, as I know, I often find myself talking about people. I often find myself talking about people and the environment that you create. There's an environment you create in your life. It's very interesting the way that we are very similar to plant life. We are not dissimilar to many of the species and origins and plant life and creatures that share this beautiful earth with us. We like to consider ourselves so much different, but the reality of our behavior is not that much different. And I know you get dressed, you take a shower, you comb your hair, you do these type of things, you could read, you could listen to a radio show, and we could assume that there's no animals, there's no rabbits anywhere, there's no animals, there's no crickets listening to the radio show. So we assume that we're that much different, but the reality of it on a core, our mind and our mind theory is definitely different. Therefore, our behavior, because of our purpose and our genetic desires, are different. So it creates a different species. We are definitely different species from other animals that we share the earth with. But our behavior and our growth and the way that we evolve is not that different. The causal forces of our evolution are not that different. So what does that mean to us? It means that the environment you keep, just like the environment they keep, is vital. The environment you keep is vital. And for us, the environment we keep is our immediate space, our home. Our home is very, very important. I'm focusing so much on this now in these days and seeing how important it is, the home you live in is. The environment of the people you keep around you, I always keep that in mind. Who am I keeping around me? Who is lifting us up? Who is bringing us down? Who is doom and gloom all the time? Who's indecisive? How is it paying attention? How does this person make me feel when they send me, when they give me a call, they send me a text message, they send me an email? How does this person make me feel? Am I happy to hear from them, or am I twitching and cringing knowing that they're going to tell me another doom and gloom story? The environment we keep is so important. And when you're conscious of it, you're able to work through it. You're able to adjust. You're able to not only adjust to that situation, but also be a good friend or a good family member and say, hey, why are you so doom and gloom? Or if you're wondering why I'm not answering you back all the time, or if you're wondering why I may, quote unquote, feel distant, it's because every time I talk to you, you're an energy vampire. Because you become aware of it, you're able to have these conversations. instead of just continuously staying frustrated. But it's easy that in these situations, it is easy to lose yourself and to not realize that there's something you love. There's a person you love. There's a situation you love that is absolutely bad for you. And people we surround ourselves with, the people who have access to us, will kill your dream faster than a bullet. They will poison you. They will kill your garden. They will absolutely do that. And we often let it happen. We often let it happen. And it sneaks up on you sometimes. You don't even realize. You don't even realize we're so used to watching TV shows where the bad guy is clearly identifiable. The sinister music, the weird outfit, the scar on their face, like something that we're so used to hear being delivered through media, a clearly defined bad guy. Boom, boom, boom. You know that here comes the bad guy. Well, in life, it doesn't necessarily happen that way. I don't know about you, but I've had some bad men and women. I've had some bad people who looked awfully nice, who were smiling, who were making all kinds of promises, who looked great. There was no bum, bum, bum music. There was no scars. There was no evil outfit. There was none of that. Wow, if anything, it was the opposite. And yet they turned out to be bad for me. And those of you who are writing in exes are definitely people you may love that are bad for you. And I'm going to throw this in. We'll probably talk about this in our next show, which is about the dating scene. The dating scene. I finally received enough emails. I always get emails about dating when I talk about relationships. You know, the emails and the feedback on dating gets pretty big. But I finally, I think, have enough. So let's just have a show about the dating scene, what the dating scene looks like, how we can change it, how we can adjust to it, how you can be the best version of yourself, these kind of things, and of course, have fun with some ridiculous stories along the way, and call people out on their bullshit. I'm all about calling people out on their bullshit, and there's no better place to do it in the dating scene. So I think we'll be talking about that the next show. But for this show, as we talk about exes, I'll talk about it briefly in the sense that if you're still loving on your ex and a way that it is bad for you is that you're really still in that relationship. You may be dating someone new. You may be with someone new. You may be courting someone new, whatever it is. But if you're still thinking and you're still in that past, it means you're living the present through the past size, and you're living the present through the past experiences, and you could say all those little things, but the truth is you're still in that past relationship. The new person's in front of you, but you're not there, and you're bringing all of that relationship's poisons, all that stuff into this new relationship, and you're going to find time and time again that even though the person in front of you is changing, you're going to find the same poisons you've been finding. And you're going to blame everybody. You're going to blame each person. You're going to blame each new person. But the reality of it is that you haven't given any of those relationships an opportunity to grow, to flourish, to start off in a healthy way at all, because you brought poison with it. So, yes, exes are definitely people we can love that are absolutely bad for us. Absolutely bad for us. And for the people that are out there saying, well, you never know though, something can spark up again, and oh, it's for those people who are thinking that and are saying that thought process, that belief system, you could add that to the list of things we love but are bad for us. It is not happening. Knock knock, who's there? It's not happening. Get over it. Have a funeral for that relationship. Have the funeral for that relationship. If in the future your paths would cross and something magical should happen, enjoy it. But enjoy it as something new. Don't you dare hold on to it thinking that old is going to be pushed into the present. If it didn't work in the old, it's not going to work in the present. The formula did not work. It will not work. Let it go. Have a funeral for it. Take what you could learn from it about yourself, about others, about your love. Find out a way you can refine, improve, enhance yourself from it, and move on. If it happens in the future, it happens in the future. But your hope for it and your delusional wish for it is an absolute process that is bad for you. Folks, you're listening to Empowered Living Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to talk about more of the things and the people we love that are bad for us. You're listening to Empowered Living. Please don't move.
Of Iraq or Afghanistan, joining IAVA.org really helps in the transition home. It's a network of OIF and OEF vets like me who've got your back here, just like we did over there. That means when you need help navigating the GI Bill, we've got your back. And when you're dealing with the transition home, we've got your back. Or when you just want someone to share stories with, we've got your back. Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America is there for you. Join our community at IAVA.org. We've got your back.
Brought to you by IAVA and the Ad Council.
You are beautiful. Your beauty, just like your capacity for life, happiness, and success, is immeasurable. Day after day, countless people across the globe get on the scale in search of validation of beauty and social acceptance. Get off the scale. I have yet to see a scale that can tell you how enchanting your eyes are. I have yet to see a scale that can show you how wonderful your hair looks when the sun shines its glorious rays on it. I have yet to see a scale that can thank you for your compassion, sense of humor, and contagious smile. Get off the scale because I have yet to see one that can admire you for your perseverance when challenged in life. It's true. The scale can only give you a numerical reflection of your relationship with gravity. That's it. It cannot measure beauty, talent, purpose, life force, possibility, strength, or love. Don't give the scale more power than it has earned. Take note of the number, then get off the scale and live your life. You are beautiful.
Forget the power of one. One kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time.
Welcome back. You're listening to Empowered Living Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. For more information about A Better Today, what we're up to, check out abettertoday.com. For more information about what I'm up to, check out stevemaraboli.com. And for every single show we have ever done, make sure that you check out empoweredlivingradio.com. It's all available 100% free. You can also download it on iTunes, Yeah, you can download it on iTunes. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on YouTube. Our Facebook page is pretty much a quote or two in, throughout the course of an entire day. Our Twitter page keeps more active articles that I either have read or I posted on my Twitter to remind myself towards the end of the day to read it. So anything that catches my eye, I'll tweet throughout the day, and as well as some quotes mixed in there. So check out our Facebook, our Twitter, our YouTube, the YouTube's videos. We're having some more videos done. You know what's interesting? As I look outside right now, it's raining again. It's like a monsoon outside. It's like gallons of water falling out of the sky every second. It's crazy. I feel that, and this is coming completely out of my rear, but I feel like this must be the rainiest May ever here in New York, in Port Washington, where I am right now. I don't know that it's been maybe 3 or 4 days the whole month that it hasn't been raining. I see it now. It was beautiful this morning. It was beautiful when I started the show. I took the break, and I look out the window, and it's just a torrential rainfall. But yeah, anyway, so check out our stuff, Facebook, Twitter, and everything else I said. Hey, we're talking about the things and people we love that are bad for us. The things and people we love that are bad for us. We talked about loving food. We become food addicts. We become drug addicts. We become addicted to things. We love things. One of the things we love, it's our cars and our stuff, our material stuff. And this is something that I feel, again, this isn't a problem that we solve. This is a problem that we outgrow. And as we make adjustments in our lives, and something that you can love, an attachment you can love, can absolutely be bad for you, is an attachment to things, an unhealthy attachment to things. You know, as we go through difficult economic times, you see people making adjustments in their lives, the way they live their lives, and the types of houses and they have, or the types of cars they drive, or how often they go to the movies. You know what I'm saying? They make adjustments to their budgets to adapt these more difficult economic times. And then on the other hand, you see other people who don't do that, and they drive themselves straight into the ground because they don't make the adaptation. And the reason they don't make the adaptation is because they love things, and it is that loving for thing and that non-adjustment to that, that is actually bad for them. And I've had this conversation with people before. Oh, you know, Steve, I'm not having as much money, but here you're making a $600 car payment. Why are you making a $600? Well, I can't not have my car. Listen, I'm not telling you not to love your car. You're not doing that because you love your car. You can love a car or not love a car. It's the attachment that's poisoning you right now. Right now, while things are difficult, why not make that adjustment? You can make this adjustment and say, okay, instead of a $600 car payment, let me find something that's a $300 car payment. And as I make the adjustments in my life to bring myself back to the prosperous place I was, let me shield myself from living a way that I simply can't afford to live anymore. And you don't have to love the car less. Just make that adjustment in your life where you put that on pause. You make the adjustments, and then you get that car back. You can love it just as much as you did. It's simple. It's simple to make those adjustments. Once you recognize the things that you love that are bad for you. Now, I'm all for maintaining a love, but recognizing its place in your life. It's the attachment that comes with love that oftentimes causes the poison. It is the attachment that comes with the love that often causes the poison. This is when I'm talking about this when it relates to material things. There are so few people who have things. That most of the people I know, those things have you. You are a slave to those things. You are a slave to your house. You are a slave to your cars. You're going crazy trying to figure out how you're going to pay for this or that. And you look at that and say, well, that's a very unhealthy relationship. It is an unhealthy relationship, not because of the love, but because of the attachment. The attachment that comes, the perception that comes with that love, and that is absolutely, in many ways, bad for you. Let's go back to people. Let's go back to people. Mom, what kind of people do you love that are bad for you? You know what's interesting? What's interesting is that we often allow people around us, often allow people access to areas in our life who really have no interest, no reason to be there. They have interest, I should say. They have no reason to be there. They haven't earned their way there. We give people access to things that we really shouldn't be giving them access to. Now, I know that we're not robots and we love people, and when we tend to love people, we give them access to our lives, and I understand that. I understand that, but on the same, I got to ask you, how does that work out for you when you do that? How's that working for you? Instead, what if we can love people but recognize that they don't have to be in all parts? They don't have to earn their way. They haven't. There are some places they shouldn't be because they're not qualified to be there. Now, we could take... my parents, let's say. Now, I love my parents. I love, appreciate, respect my parents like you can't imagine. Many of you who have been listening for a while now know that I absolutely loved and appreciated and adored my mom. But you also know that I told many stories that I would absolutely keep things from my mom. Absolutely. Things that most people would run and tell their parents. Hey, I was invited to do to have my own radio show. You would think I would love and tell my mom 6, 7, however long ago it was when I was first informed that I was invited to do a radio show. You would think I would run and say, Mom, I'm going to do a radio show. Isn't that incredible? You would think I would do that. But I didn't because I learned before that that while my mom was a person I absolutely love, there are places in my life that she was bad for me. There are places in my life where her fear was poison to me. I had learned throughout the years as I would venture. I'm a venturous person, especially back then when it came to business and all of that. And I would say, oh, this is what I'm going to do. And my mom would right away, oh, well, is that going to be okay? Is it going to be too difficult? Is that going to be a lot of work? Are you going to, what if it fails? What if? And suddenly I'm like, oh, no, wait, what if? What if? And I started learning, wait, she loves me so much. This wasn't out of a place of anger. She loves me so much that in her protection of me, she was actually limiting me. So again, sometimes it doesn't come with the Darth Vader mask or the Freddy Krueger face or, you know, the crazy killer Jason hockey mask. It doesn't come that necessarily. It could be your mom. In my case, and sometimes it would be my mom. So I learned that, wow, she's someone I love so much, but maybe not the best person to pass business advice through because she hadn't done that. It wasn't because she didn't love me. She loved me so much. It was because she hadn't done that. She wasn't qualified. How could you tell me how hard it's going to be to run a radio show? You've never run a radio show. You've never run a radio show. You've never done anything like this. You've never built your own company. You've never done any of this. How could I possibly give you so 100% say in something you've never ventured to do? It's bad for me. So I learned my parents didn't know I had a radio show until they read about it in the newspaper. That's when they know. But by then it was already successful. It was already successful. So they couldn't tell me all the reasons why it wouldn't work. So it's things that you learn. There are people in your life who love you and who you love so much, and you don't need to change your love for them, but instead take a look at how much access they have to you. How able are they to deflate you, to deflate your dreams, to deflate your hopes? And under what credentials do they do that? Under what credentials do they do that? If I was looking for something else that they had done, I would absolutely listen to what they said. And if they buzzkilled my ambition, I would at least take it seriously in the sense that they would cause me to think, because their experience causes me to respect them enough to think about what they're saying. But think about the friends that you have. I hear all the time, oh, well, I don't, you know, I started exercising, but so-and-so told me it was ridiculous. And I'm thinking, so-and-so is completely overweight and lazy. Why would you take exercise advice from someone who's completely overweight and lazy? That's silly. So, of course, so-and-so said don't do it. They don't even realize that you doing it, and they feel threatened in some way, so they're trying to talk you out of it. But keep in mind, nothing's as unpopular amongst friends as positive change. So yeah, keeping the people that you love in your life is I understand how important that is. But recognize where those people you love are bad for you. There are people you love who are takers. let's be honest. There are people you love who are takers, who you give. And it doesn't have to be monetarily. It could be energy. And you listen. And then when you need someone to listen, they don't listen. There are people in your life who are takers. There are people who you're in your life who you're constantly doing things for, and they don't seem in any rush to do anything for you. Life is a balance. Relationships are balance. So as soon as that's off balance, one of the people grows weary and tired, and then the stress accumulates because there is no balance, and the stress might accumulate somewhere else. It might manifest itself somewhere else. It might be a stress. It might be arguments about this, arguments about that. But really, all of that is a reflection of the stress that comes from having an unbalanced relationship. That unbalanced relationship comes from things and people we love that are bad for you. Things and people we love that are bad for you. So what else can we – I want to talk about really, really briefly. Another thing that we love that tends to be bad for us is that the opposite of exercising. We love stagnancy. We love stagnancy. We love to just, especially in this information age, it's become so weird that while we have access to more information than ever, we as a world, not just as a nation in the United States, as a world, are becoming less informed and less educated than ever. It's a weird anomaly. It's a weird thing that's happening. We love stagnancy. There are more and more infomercials for this weight loss and this diet and this new workout and this new yoga pose and this kind of yoga and this kind of and what happens? What happens is, again, every year, people are getting more and more overweight. They're getting bigger. There's more and more heart disease. The reason is we love stagnancy. We're watching shows that we don't learn anything. We're not reading things that we learn anything. We don't appreciate learning. We don't appreciate exercise and health. And we just kind of ride out the day, and we love the stagnancy. And stagnancy is something that you could love. And I can understand sitting on the couch and watching TV, and I can understand just sitting around and doing nothing. I can understand that. Do you think that calls me any less than it calls you? Absolutely not. But I know that that is something I could easily love. Who can't get used to that? But it's bad for us. Especially since we learned your life is a reflection of your actions and decisions. So if your actions and decisions have you sitting on the couch being stagnant, making unhealthy food choices, we know where that leads. It's not a mystery. It's not miraculous. It's not anything that's difficult to decipher. We know where that leads. That leads to you overweight, you feeling depressed, you feeling miserable, you saying that the world sucks and everything else that comes with feeling depressed and miserable, and most likely you dying of some sort of disease that happened to do with the decisions you made and the fact that you didn't get off the couch. But yet while doing it, we love it. But it's bad for us. So what happens when we become conscious of this? What happens when we become conscious of the things that we love that are bad for us? What happens when we become conscious of the people that we love that are bad for us? What happens when we become conscious of that is that you can, by becoming conscious of it, you can start to control its role in your life. You get to start to control your participation in this cycle of negativity, in the cycle of poison. You get to control your participation. You get to make choices. When you become conscious of something, what you're becoming conscious of is a choice. That's what becoming conscious of something means. It places you in relationship to the event or the thought or the reality, whatever it is. That's what consciousness is. It puts you in that thought and gives you an idea, the story. Your brain comes up with the story of that experience. And in that story, with that story we call consciousness, comes the ability to choose. Now comes that choice. The choice to say, does this hurt me? Does this help me? Does telling this person, every time I tell this person something, they shoot negativity at me. At what point am I going to realize I got to stop telling them this? I can love them. They're great. They're always going to be who they are in my life. And that's fantastic. But maybe the problem isn't them. The problem is that I tell them things. Why am I telling my unambitious friends about my ambition and then wondering why they're trying to talk me out of it? When you become conscious of it, you start dealing with it rationally and say, wait, why am I doing that? Why am I asking the unambitious to support me in my ambition? Why am I asking the non-business people to support me in my business and understand my business? Why am I asking so-and-so, and you can put this on and on and on. But once you recognize this and become conscious of it, you can take control of it. And more importantly, you can move into, when you become conscious of the things and people you love that are bad for you, when you become conscious of that, you can start flipping it. The empowered mind starts flipping it. And then we could say, well, why don't I love things and people that are good for me? The empowered mind flips that and says, well, here I am loving things and people that are bad for me. Well, what am I not loving that's good for me? And that's where you start recognizing, what are the things I don't love that are good for me? I don't love health. Loving health would be good for me. Loving health and being then becoming tuned into the addictive chemical properties of health. What does being healthy feel for me? How do I get my body addicted to that chemical process? Being addicted to the process of eating healthy and feeling healthy, why aren't I addicted to that? Once you break that habit of bad health, once you break that habit in recognition and consciousness of the things and people that you love that are bad for you, you can start paying attention to the things and people you love that are good for you and cultivating that. Cultivating that and saying, wait a second, I want to love feeling healthy. I want to love knowledge. And most importantly, I find throughout my years of doing this that the thing that we tend to not love as much, that would be great for us to love a lot, is ourselves. We love ourselves enough to want more. You could be a smoker and you can love yourself enough to hate that you're a smoker. You could be like me and just loving burgers and fries and pizzas and all kinds of things that had cheese in them and all kinds of stuff like that. You can love yourself enough to know, oh man, Steve, I really got to stop, man. I got to stop this because I feel like crap. I'm tired, I'm energized, and look like the scales, you know, just telling me, dude, stop. My body's telling me, stop. And I could love myself enough to know that, to feel that. But like most other people, we fall short of loving ourselves enough to do that. We love ourselves enough to want something, but we don't really love ourselves enough to be that something. And that's something I had to learn. I thought I loved myself enough, and I do. I would love myself enough to want something different. And in many aspects of my life, I loved myself enough to do and be that something different. But there are aspects in my life where I was poisoning myself, emotionally, spiritually, and literally with food, that I had to make. And I still, to this day, today I will have to make those choices. Do I love myself enough to be what I love myself enough to want? I love myself to not want to crave that food. But do I love myself enough to not have it, even though I crave it? Even though I crave it. And then as you participate more and you start making more and more of those decisions, you become habitual in making that decision. It doesn't mean that it doesn't call you. This life will always have resistance for you. Don't worry. You'll never be resistance free. You'll never be craving free. You will never be free of those things and bodies and chemicals that just want to do what they want to do. You'll never be free of temptation. If that's what you're looking for in an enlightened life, you're never going to find it, I promise you. It doesn't work that way. Anyone who tells you they are temptation-free and they get it all figured out, run for your life because they want their money. They're going to sell you some magic beans, some magic prayer cloth. They're going to sell you and put you into some sort of seminar spiritual cruise, simplicity cruise, going to all the most unsimple places in the world. So you go back and you recognize, I'm always going to have these challenges. So the challenges aren't going to be different. The people aren't going to be different. The poisons aren't going to be different. The events aren't going to be different. So what does that mean? The only thing that means is that if I want any of that to be different, the only way it can be different is if I am different, if my perception of it is different, if my relationship to it is different, if my attitude towards it is different, if my internal strength towards it is different. I have to love myself enough that it keeps me healthy while there are other things out there that are lovable, that are bad for me. That are bad for me. I love myself enough to be what I love myself enough to want. I love myself enough to be healthy, even though it's tempting not to be. I love myself enough to work hard, even though it's tempting not to. I love myself enough to live simply, even though it's tempting not to. I love myself enough to keep in the gauge and the vision that I have for my life. And there's always going to be people and there's always going to be things that I can love that in some way will be bad for me. And I love myself enough to pay attention to that and to adjust whenever I need to adjust. That's empowered living. Folks, you're listening to Empowered Living Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. Make sure you check out our website, stevemaraboli.com and empoweredlivingradio.com. This New Yorker loves you. We'll see you next time.
today would like to thank you for listening to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free.